Yes, family, let's open God's word. Now open to James chapter 5, and you can follow along on the screen above, but of course you've also got those black Bibles in front of you. If you can open those up to page 980, we're going to be reading, pardon me, from James chapter 5 verses 12 right to the end, verse 20. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you'll be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. Now, he prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Amen. And this is the word of God.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning, everybody. No, that's not good enough. Good morning, everybody.
Morning, Bruce.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Well, today we come to the end of our series on the letter of James. And I have to say that in the more than 50 years, it's actually 55 years of taking Bible studies, out of all the books in the Bible, the one most requested for study has been the letter to James. Why is this so? I think it is because it is a very practical book with respect to knowing how believers should live in this world. And the way that James approaches this task is to deal with very common weaknesses or difficulties that people face. And for the most part, he would start with a command: do this or don't do that. And then he goes on to explain why it is important to deal with that problem and how to go about resolving it. And then often he would add a warning about what will happen if you don't follow what he says. Now, our passage today deals with three major matters. The first is about not swearing oaths. The second is about prayer. Prayer in the good times and prayer in the bad times. And the third is about the importance of helping someone who has fallen away from following the Lord and helping that person to come back. So let's start with topic one, which is the importance of always speaking the truth. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear an oath, really, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Now, this saying, first of all, is a quote from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. Did you recognize that? It is also bringing back the importance of the third of the Ten Commandments, that is, not taking the name of the Lord in vain. And the ninth commandment gets a look in as well. That's the commandment about not telling lies. So, what is the issue in this particular matter? The issue is that followers of Jesus should always be honest in their speaking so that they never have to, as it were, invoke the name of the Lord or the name of anything else to convince people that they're actually telling the truth. Now, R.V.S. Tasker, in his very important commentary on James, put this in this way, quote, "The way to avoid swearing oaths is by being strictly truthful in ordinary speech, avoiding exaggeration to create an impression, or half-truths to conceal a lie. We should generally aim at simplicity and straightforwardness." Now, is that very revolutionary? In the old days, and not as often in our days, they did used to try and reinforce what they were saying. "May God be my judge." You ever heard that one? "Well, I swear by the lamppost outside my house," or whatever it was they did. Tasker suggests that sometimes it's the fear our words will not be taken on face value unless we reinforce them with an oath. People will swear by it, God say, and they want to invoke people's trust in God to trust their words. But no, James says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And by the way, did you know at the very end of that verse, there is a warning so that you may not be condemned? Now, whatever that means, if we use the name of God or anything else to our advantage, it is clearly a violation of the third commandment. So never do it. Now, the second matter before us is the importance of prayer in life and in emergency. Above all, my brothers and sisters, oh no, can we have the next one up? Yes, there we go. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anybody happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, notice, first of all, that the tone in this section is very much softer than other parts of the letter. Sometimes he'll give a direct order, don't do this, do that. But here, he says it's much more sort of like advice and suggestion on how to deal with a specific and important situation. So he's saying, if you've got a problem, how about this? And the assumption here is that in this letter, he is addressing a church just like us. He's addressing a group of people like us gathered in the name of the Lord. And you see, the church is like a family. And when one of the family is sick, what can we do? Well, we can come together to support him or her and pray for them. And in this case, he suggests even anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, the significance of anointing with oil is not explained. You notice that? And many people over the last couple of thousand years have tried to read into that what they think it might mean. It may be symbolic of God's anointing with his Spirit. Or people have thought that it may have been thought to have had medicinal significance. For example, when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, it says there that the Good Samaritan, quote, bound the victim's wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. The real point is that in the Christian family, we are to bear one another's burdens. In this case, if someone is sick, we should support them in every way we can, including prayer. Now, in this church, as we all know, we have recently come together in prayer and anointing for one of our dear members. And it's wonderful that that happened. And this coming together is an act of loving fellowship as well as an expression of faith. Every church worth its name should be like this. But when we come together, how we show loving care can differ according to the circumstances. James suggests that, and there are other ways of doing it. We can do it in our small groups. We have a prayer diary, and we can use that to remind us of who's sick. And in our prayers at home, we can remember them. How we do it may differ, but it should be something that we should engage in loving, gentle, and above all, prayerful care for those in need. Now, verse 15 contains a promise. It says, the prayer of faith will save one. The prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Now, this is a difficult issue. There are several difficulties about what this means. It obviously can't mean that in every case the sick person will get well. Why do I say that? Well, the answer is because everybody is going to die of something. Mostly it's going to be an illness. And if every person prayed for got better and never died, how big would this church be? And how, you know. So it's a difficult question. I've had two incidences in my life which I look back at as the most grievous I've ever faced. The first one was when my little daughter, who was just about to turn two, rushed out on the road and was run over. Both legs broken, her face smashed. I counted 95 stitches in her face the day after this happened. And I heard it happen. I raced out and she was lying on the ground, terrible. And all I could say is, Lord, don't let my baby die. Don't let my baby die. I knew that he may, because people die of road accidents all the time, don't they? Thankfully, she survived. She grew up to be a wonderful Christian woman and mother, one of whose children is called Elliot, sitting up there pressing the buttons. The other terrible thing that happened in my life is when my late wife became sick with cancer. Me and my whole church prayed earnestly that she would recover. But she didn't. It broke my heart. Why did she die? We don't know the answer to that. But I do know that God's will is always right. And one day we will know why. And I remember that in my case, I kept in mind the example of Jesus. On the night that he was betrayed, you remember, in the garden, he said, Father, if it is your will, let this cup of death pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And that must always be in our minds, in our prayers. The fourth point to notice in this passage is the importance of seeking and bringing about the forgiveness of sins. Have a look at 15 and 16. We go back to that, please, whoever's on the ball over there. Here we go, 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And then when you come to verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if any one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So James, in a sense, fuses together the concept of healing and forgiveness. What do we think of this? Well, let's start with Romans 3:23. Paul says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sick people are sinners too. Serious though their sickness may be, their greater need is to obtain reconciliation with God, if that has not yet occurred. So that is why James, in his thinking here, moves to the matter of forgiveness. So, he says, if someone's sick, he says the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And if he's committed sin, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. A very interesting word. Because there is an ambiguity in all these words. They seem to blur the idea of physical and spiritual sickness and spiritual and physical healing. In verse 19, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. I note that in the Greek, the original language, the word save is used in verse 15 relative to being sick, as well as later on relative to being forgiven. Do you see the ambiguity between save and forgiven? Many have commented on this, and we just have to, as it were, carry it with us. And many people have also commented on the fact that that's the way he ends the letter. No cheerio calls to anybody. No summing up benediction or grace or anything like that. That's it. He who saves a sinner from death will cover a multitude of sins. Let me conclude this sermon by asking everybody here, are you certain that God has forgiven your sins? That you have been, quote, saved from spiritual death and judgment? Are you sure of this? If you are, verse 13, praise God. every day give thanks. But if you're not certain, or deep down you know that you have not yet made your peace with God, what do you think is your greatest need? If you're sick, or if you die, unforgiven. Let me tell you, of all the prayers that you can pray, there is one prayer that is certain to give, to get a yes answer. And that prayer is a heartfelt prayer for forgiveness. Do you remember the parable of the tax collector and the sinner? The tax collector and the Pharisee? In that parable that Jesus told, the tax collector, who of course in those days wasn't just a public servant, he was a crook, he used to cream off the top. This sinner went to the temple and he said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus said, that man went home justified or forgiven. And that can be you if you need to make your peace with God. If you would like to come back, you've been straying, say, and you want to come back, let me help you by closing this message with the prayer which expresses this very thing, and actually was the prayer I prayed the day I made my peace with God. And if you want that gift yourself, when I pray this prayer in a minute, you pray with me in your heart. And when you say amen, God will answer that prayer with a yes. By the way, if you do that, make sure you tell somebody so that they can pray with you and for you and support you. But this is the prayer I'm going to pray. And if somewhere in this congregation there are people who know they should come back to God, repent and seek His grace, you say this prayer from the heart and it will be given you. Let me tell you what it is. Dear God, I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sins. I believe Jesus died to take the penalty for my sins. Please forgive me and accept me into your family and help me follow you all the days of my life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Is that okay? By the way, before I say this prayer, I forgot to say that the best way I can describe prayer is in the words of that lovely hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus, All Our Sins and Griefs to Bear." What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So now I'm going to pray this prayer. And if this prayer is your prayer, God will give you a yes. Let us pray. Dear God, I am a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sins. I believe Jesus died to take the penalty for my sins. Please forgive me and accept me into your family and help me follow you all the days of my life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Amen.